TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that, so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let TruGreen take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn, while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. Get started today by visiting TruGreen.com. Because we all love a beautiful lawn, but not all the work that it takes to maintain it. So, you do you. Let TruGreen do your lawn care. Visit TruGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed. You can trust TruGreen to give you the best lawn because they're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Visit TruGreen.com today. That's TruGreen.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round three recap for this week's American Express. Joining me to break it all down, it's him. It's Greg Ducharme. Greg, welcome.
I'm here. Happy to be here. We finally have at least one round under our belt on all three courses. I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, Rick, but when you have three courses, breaking down the first 2 days is such a challenge. You don't really have a good feel for where anybody stands.
Oh, and trust me, I'm aware of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And even after three rounds, you don't really have a great feel. So it's a tricky one to handicap at this point, but action was good today and conditions got a little tougher, I would say. And aside from Lee Hodges and Paul Barjon, I'm kind of surprised at the scores. They're not as crazy low as usual here.
Yeah, well, it is an interesting milestone that we've reached this Saturday evening because every golfer has played each of the three courses once, so that's nice. And producer Jacob did the hard work of compiling the scoring averages depending on your course rotation, Greg. And I want to read these to you before we jump into the leaderboard, because if you started at La Quinta on Thursday, when you played La Quinta, the Nicholas course, and then the Stadium course on Saturday, this combined scoring average was about 7.5 shots under par. If you started on the Nicholas course, it was nearly 6 shots under par. And if you started on the Stadium course, it was like 2.75 under par. Obviously, Greg, there are, you know, the better players played the Stadium course on Saturday. That could be part of it. But this is still, no matter how you kind of want to frame this, that's a 5-shot difference basically in the order that you played these in.
Yeah, that's huge. And Jacob, that's great research. It's very, very interesting. And the other thing that was very interesting is the Nicholas course was the easiest course yesterday, I believe, which I found to be strange. So I'm not sure if it's because one course is more difficult. That's just a surprising order. I guess the Stadium course played really tough yesterday. So looking through the Stadium course today, it played under par today.
It was the easiest course on Saturday. The Stadium course was the easiest course,
which is it's so strange. I mean, it was easier yesterday. 2.3. That's also bizarre. It was 2.3 under par yesterday. And in round one, it was right around the same thing. Round one, it was only 3/4 of a shot. There you go. That's what.
Yeah.
It was really hard on it. It either played really hard on Thursday, or the players didn't go get it. And my guess is that that's the answer. Because then, if you go to Nicholas Tournament Course, That was nearly two and a half in round one. In round two, it played three under, and I kind of expected it to play a little harder yesterday. The greens are really firm over there. And today, Nicklaus tournament course played over par.
Yeah.
Or at least it is right now.
It's wild stuff. Yeah. As we speak, there's, you know, a handful, probably less than a dozen, probably less than 10 guys out on three golf courses. But let's look at the leaderboard. This is shaping up to be, for me, Greg, a giant question mark. So we've got our two leaders. They're playing their final hole of the day. Lee Hodges, Paul Barjon, they are both currently 18 under. And I love me some Paul Barjon. We've talked a lot about him on Monday DFS previews about how undervalued he was, and I never really thought that that might come to fruition in form of victory, Greg. But it seemed like he was always being priced incorrectly based on his actual skill set.
Well, what a golf swing it is, right? You watch him swing, and you don't expect him to be. What was he on DraftKings? 61 or 6200?
Yeah, I think 61.
What a value you get there. You've already, you racked up some points today if you played him, which is great. But it is an incredible golf swing, which I have enjoyed watching. And here he is in the mix. I mean, this is what we get at this event. We get guys who get long shots to win seemingly right. All the time. What was the statistic on that, Rick? Like five, what was it? 50 to one is the average.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, Adam Long won it at 500 to 1. Andrew Landry won it at 200 to 1. Everybody else was kind of living in the 50s to 80s range outside of Jon Rahm for the last 8 or 9 years. So yeah, it just kind of the chaos, all the different variables, Greg, just kind of breed these longer shot guys having a chance to actually pull off victory.
And it's not, the golf courses don't demand length. They don't demand distance. There are dog legs. There are opportunities to, let's just say there are places where it really narrows up and you're not able to really hit driver way down there. You're forced to lay back and play positional golf, which Pete Dye does a great job of. But, and then Nicklaus and La Quinta, those are kind of tight golf courses. You have some OB over there and some concerns like that. So, it's very interesting to watch it all play out because you have all these birdies being made, but anybody can make them. And there are a bunch of different ways to make them. So I'm surprised to see Patrick Cantlay slip down the leaderboard a little bit, surprised to see Jon Rahm sitting where he's sitting. And you kind of expected, even especially after round one, you expected those guys to be in a heavyweight battle coming into Sunday. And it's anything but.
Our friends over at Caesars Sportsbook, they are assigning Lee Hodges as your favorite on this Saturday evening. 3.5 to 1, Paul Barjon, 4.5 to 1, Seamus Power, plus 650, along with Tom Hoagie. Those are the four names in single digits. And it's the Hodges-Barjon group, Greg, because they played together on Saturday, 15 under par combined at the stadium course, and they're still wrapping up their final hole right now. There is... oftentimes we see this, the ability to kind of feed off another person in your group, that kind of sometimes goes positively and negatively. Absolute ceiling days from Hodges and Barjon out there.
Both of them. And it's clearly a comfortable pairing. And they did feed off of each other, you're right there, matching each other shot for shot quite often. And it leads to this. And I tell you, those two guys, they influence that scoring average big time because those are really good rounds that they both have going on the stadium course.
You know what's interesting, Greg? So assuming they both stay at 18 under, they're going to play again. They're going to play in the final group on Sunday. So they're going to play all four rounds together, which is probably pretty rare.
Yeah. I mean, it's much more common in an event like this.
Well, right. Where the first three, you're playing with the same guy. Yeah.
Right. Right. Because you get three. But I think that bodes well for them. But it's a big deal, right? Tomorrow's round for those guys will be a really important round for a number of reasons. But you look at Lee Hodges, who's just coming out from the Korn Ferry Tour, and although he's a PGA Tour rookie, and you finally get your card after a couple of years on the Korn Ferry Tour, and you have a chance to get your card, lock your card up for 2 years It makes a huge difference when when you make it and then you stamp your name, you know, you stamp that card for 2 years. It's a huge bump right away, and it'll be a big confidence booster. It'll give him a lot of flexibility. If there's an area of his game he thinks he needs to work on, he can put more work in. He doesn't have to chase points at that point if he gets a win. And the same is true for Paul Bergeron. So both of those guys will have a lot of pressure tomorrow, and it's going to be a tough day. A Pete Dye golf course under pressure is, I'm not sure I'd call it fun. And I wouldn't expect the same kind of day today, or tomorrow rather, like we saw today.
Sitting at 17 under par is Tom Hoagie. He's alone in third. It was a Saturday 68 that was highlighted by four straight birdies from four through seven. He played the La Quinta course, Greg, and he's the one that we've talked about often on the DFS preview about being a popper, where when he has his ceiling weeks, he finds himself inside the top 10. He hits his irons very, very well. He's the one, rooting interest aside, he's the one that would financially benefit me the most. I'm holding 125-1 Tom Hoagie ticket. So I think he's got my full attention for Sunday.
He's almost like a lock sleeper play, right? He's a good sleeper play every week. If you're not sure who to go with, he's at least for me, he's like a default spot in a DFS lineup when I need a guy. I'm drawn to his name in there. So it's cool to see him near the top, and I'm a huge fan of his. I love watching him play. That iron play is a big reason why. And I know he played La Quinta today, but I love the round he played yesterday at the stadium course. That playing bogey free over there in yesterday's conditions, which got a little tougher towards the end, that was a big deal. And he showed up again today. I think he would have liked a couple more birdies on that second nine there, but all in all, a good round, and he is in great position in the second to last group.
Like 6.5-1 for Tom Hoagie to win the American Express. Same odds as Seamus Power, who shot a 66 at La Quinta, Greg, and it was he was a bat out of hell. You know, birdies on 2, 3, 4, 5, then he eagled 6. So he is just scorching hot to start his Saturday round, cooled off a little bit, treads water the rest of the way. But we are really seeing Seamus Power. I mean, he's coming into his own. He is just on an absolute heater going on 6 months, 7 months, something like that.
And it's so cool to see. I mean, he was tied third last week, tied 15th at the Century Tournament of Champions, and tied fourth at the RSM. And then he did miss the cut in Houston, but before that, he had three straight top 25 finishes as well. And that's not long after a win at the Barbasol. So he's starting to feel like he belongs. And he was pretty close to a favorite, right? 9,500 on DraftKings. He's the seventh highest priced player in the field, which is a rare spot for him, right? We're used to seeing him in the 7K range, which gives you a little bit of an idea on his odds. And so when you all of a sudden get that bump and now you're expected to perform, it adds pressure again, and it's a different ball game at that point, and he's handled it nicely. And it's cool to see he and Hoagie up there, because they're kind of they're go-to sleeper plays. And I know Power isn't really a sleeper anymore, but he's playing some really nice golf.
I want to talk about a couple of the big names who are, I don't even know if they're lurking at this point, but I'd be remiss if I didn't point out that this top 10, Greg, the top 10 players on this leaderboard have, by my quick count, 7 career PGA Tour victories. And those are from 4 guys. It's 1 for Power, 1 for Lonto Griffin, 2 for Hudson Swafford, and 3 for Francesco Molinari. There is not a lot of winning experience. I would not define the top 10 as closers. It's just a log jam that I think could create chaos on Sunday. We could see this thing shuffle around constantly.
You got 2 PGA Tour rookies in there, with Cam Young and Lee Hodges. Barjan isn't a rookie, right?
No, I don't think so. I think this might be his second full year. Right. I'd have to check.
I think you're right on that. And then just outside, you have Siyi Thigala right there too. So you have a lot of youth in that group. A lot of guys that are rather inexperienced. I think Lonto Griffin is probably a little disappointed with his round today. He's a winner. He's another guy who's contended in big time events. He's played well against great fields. He's got to be feeling really good about where he's sitting. Although I think today's round was probably a little disappointing for him, the way he finished it off, because he was right there. And I think he was hoping to be a little closer to that 18 under mark. So we'll see what happens there, but you're right, Rick. It's not an expected top 10, if you will.
Yeah, as long as somebody in the top 10 wins this, it's probably going to be a pretty big boom for their career. Just outside that top 10, Patrick Cantlay, Will Zalatoris. Cantlay shot a 72, which snapped his streak of 21 consecutive rounds in the 60s. That was a PGA Tour record once they started keeping track of all of that information. So he is now four shots back and 10 golfers behind. And then John Rahm is five shots back, even more golfers behind, a couple more on the list for John Rahm. So it's going to be difficult for those two to leapfrog all of these golfers without doing something really, really special at the stadium course on Sunday. And the story for Rahm was really the lip outs, the burnt edges, could not get those putts to drop, or else this might be a little bit of a different story with 18 to go.
Every time I've seen him this week, he can't believe the ball didn't go in.
It's this, right? He does this every time.
Right. He squats down. He
hands over mouth. Yet.
Exactly right. So he is playing some really good golf, and it's going to be easy to look at this finish if he doesn't win and say it was a weak performance, but it wasn't. This is the same performance. This is just a putter. This is actually, you know what it reminds me of, Rick? It reminds me of the way he started last year. And the way last year started, he was racking up top 10s, which I still expect this week. He was racking up top 10s, but he wasn't really getting close to contending because of just that. It was this. Right. I mean, he narrowly missing putts one after another. And that's what we're seeing this week. So, again, is he out of it? No, not even close. On a golf course like this, with all the big numbers that we have out there at the stadium course, I mean, you look at the guys earlier in the week who shot over par, and they weren't shooting over par because of lack of birdies or making a lot of bogey. I mean, they're making big numbers. Saw Phil Mickelson make a 9. I know that wasn't on the stadium course, but doubles, triples, others are out there on this Pete Dye design because it's so severe. There are really sharp edges, and a 1 yard miss at being out of the fairway could put you down in a really deep bunker in a tough spot, and you can make some big numbers that way, or in the water. So it'll be interesting. It does open an opportunity for somebody to go post, especially if it's a John Rahm. Getting up there, posting his name early, that could be a big advantage. And we've also seen something unique this week with some wind. And wind on this golf course makes it a lot more nerve-wracking.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. who wins this golf tournament? I have no idea.
The player I've been most impressed with.
I don't remember one being this wide open, Greg. It's been a while since we've had one like this.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, there's three shots between the last guys in the top 10. They're tied right. Fifth and the lead. So that's not a lot. Then you have Cantlay and Zalatoris. They're four back, but they're in 11th. So there's not a huge number, of guys to jump. So I think they're still in the mix. I think the guys that are T15, John Rahm, Wyndham Clark, Davis Riley at 13, they're five back. I think they're still in the mix. So once you start getting below that, I think coming from 12, from 12 under, catching the guys at 18 is a tough one. But the guy I've been most impressed with this week is Tom Hoagie. I'm looking at him to seal the deal tomorrow. And I know that's going to be tough, but he's impressed me.
It's going to be tough for anybody, quite frankly. Now, I'll cheat a little bit and I'll name a couple of names. You know, Seamus Power's the best player in the in a good position.
Top 10.
Right? Yeah, two back, and the guys ahead of him have zero combined PGA Tour victories. He's the best. Like, that's the most logical one. I'd love it if it was Barjan, but I'm with you. Hoagie's the ball striker, right? Hoagie's the guy that if he gains a couple of strokes on approach and rolls a couple of putts, he doesn't have the PGA Tour wins, but he's a savvy vet. You know what I mean? He's played a lot of PGA Tour events. He's been in the heat of the battle on Sunday often enough. I think it might be Hoagie, and I hope it's Hoagie.
And he's not that guy, a rookie popping out, getting a win in their first year. You know, he's been here, like you said. I don't put him in the category of, oh, well, he'll lock up his card for 2 years. I know that's a great benefit, and he'd be thrilled with that, and nobody would ever pass it up. But I don't really get the sense that that's on his radar. He's not worried about job security because he pops quite often. He's quite good. But then the other interesting guy to me in the top 10 is Molinari, who is just playing some steady golf. He's got himself in the mix. And although he hasn't been here a lot lately, he's a major champion. And he's won, as you said, three times on the PGA Tour, but a lot more on the European Tour. And, you know, I hear this line all the time. And I believe John Cook is the guy who I most recently heard it from. But John Cook says, you don't forget how to win. You forget how to get there. You forget how to get yourself in position. When you don't have your game, you're not going to win. You can't get there. But once you get there and you feel like your game is in shape, well, all of a sudden those memories come back, and that second nine, that weekend at Carnoustie, starts to pop in your mind. And I think that could be really valuable for a Molinari this week, tomorrow. And he played the stadium course today. He played a great round. So I like what I've seen from him too.
All right. Well, I think we are in for a chaotic Sunday. And after the final putt drops, we will be here to break it all down. But for now, let me thank producer Jacob. He does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, it's Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at TheRealGFD. And you can find me at RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.